If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hey everyone, Rachel Yucatel here from the Misunderstood Podcast. Let's get real. How many of us feel consistently exhausted, struggling to focus with a to-do list that never ends? Trust me, I've been there. Recently, I've discovered something that's been a total game changer: Holistic Goddesses Bison Trifecta. It's a supplement made from freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney, all packed into convenient capsules. Since I started taking Bison Trifecta, my energy levels have soared and my mental clarity has never been better. It's been a lifesaver, especially as I navigate perimenopause and menopause. The best part, it's all natural with clean ingredients and no fillers. If you're looking for a boost, I highly recommend trying Bison Trifecta. And right now you can get 15% off with the code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. So go to holisticgoddess.com and learn more. HOLISTICGODDESS.com and use the code UNDERSTOOD. You won't regret it. Welcome back to Misunderstood and the Sarah Fraser Show, together live on Rumble. How are you, Sarah?
Rachel, I'm so good, girl. How are you?
I'm great. I've had a very interesting week. I know you have too. I want to get into that. But first, I want us to talk about the fact that we have had a contest running for a month now where you guys had to subscribe. You guys had to write a review. We got a ton of people that got involved. Thank you. We want to thank every single person that left us a review and listened to our podcast. That means so much to us. But we finally have picked a winner. Would you like to announce it or should I?
You announce it. I love this. Somebody is getting two tickets to go see the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas. This is an incredible giveaway. Rachel has the hookup. You and I have both seen the Eagles live.
They are amazing.
Unfreaking believable. And by the way, the very famous country singer, Vince Gill, they hired him. He does like backups, unbelievable musician. And I think it's Glenn Frey who passed away. His son is also a part of the band. And you know what? Have you ever had Don Henley on? Don Henley might be a dream guest. Don Henley is a maniac. Like, I mean, the guy is 70 something years old. I mean, they can't be doing it for the money at this point. And like the musician that he is at 74.
Yeah.
Don Henley now is a dream guest of mine.
Well, like, I had Lucy Walsh on my show, who's the daughter of, who's the Walsh guy?
Joe Walsh.
What does he do?
Guitar.
Guitar.
Like,
okay.
Insane guitar.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, I would be excited to get these tickets, but anyway, here we go. The winner of the two free Eagles tickets to In the Sphere in Las Vegas is Kathy_5817. She is a mom of four, which we love. Four boys, right?
Four boys. And I think we can share this because it's on her Instagram profile, but she has a daughter in heaven. I think she had like a miscarriage. I don't want to say too much because I'm not sure the full story, but she writes that she has a daughter in heaven. And so we love a mama. She's overcome a lot. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for her to go to Vegas and treat herself. This is like an incredible
show. She did everything she was supposed to. And then, you know, we looked at all the profiles and she really wanted the tickets, needed the tickets, and we felt like she deserved the tickets. So Kathy, we will be in touch with you, and congratulations. We're very happy for you.
Get it, Kathy. Congrats.
Yeah. All right. So let's get right into our week for a second. I know you spent the week trying to bail someone out of jail. You want to tell people about it?
I'm obsessed with TLC shows. It's probably the thing that I'm known for on my podcast. And there's a show called 1,000-Pound Sisters with Amy and Tammy Slayton.
I love it.
I know. I'm obsessed with them. Together, they used to weigh 1,000 pounds. They don't anymore. Anyhow, Amy Slayton, who has been, the past couple of years, the sister that has appeared to have it all together. Mm-hmm. Tammy was the rebellious one who weighed 760 pounds, didn't want to lose weight, ended up getting gastric. She looks fantastic. She lost 500 pounds. Anyway, Amy was always the kind of stable one. Amy got arrested over the Labor Day weekend at a safari park in Tennessee. It gets a camel bite on her arm. Honey, they open those doors because it was like an open safari. So EMS shows up, huge whiff of the weed, apparently 80 grams, which is a ton of weed, and mushrooms, magic mushrooms.
Oh, so that's why she got arrested. Okay, because all I saw in the headlines was that she got arrested and she had a camel bite on her. And so I thought she got into some sort of altercation with an animal.
A little of that. And then, a lot of people say that the camel was biting her to try to get to the drugs. And,
oh my God.
I tried to bail her ass out of jail. I was calling the jail. They were so lovely in Crockett County. But, you know, these women, good for them, as they should. They're big reality stars. They make a ton of money on Cameo, YouTube, other endorsements. So her bond was set for $10,000. She had to actually pay the full $10,000 price instead of 10% because she's from out of state. She's from Kentucky. If you live in Tennessee, you only have to put up 10% of the bond. So I was like,
wow. Oh, so you're telling me somebody put up $10,000 for her?
Yeah. Like within the judge set the bond within an hour. She was like bonded out. Like, wow. I'm sitting here to myself going, what? I'm trying to like raise 10 cents from my listeners. Cause I was going to have her come co-host the podcast for a week. And then people can give her parenting advice.
Wait, parenting advice?
Yeah, she needs some parenting. She was arrested.
Oh, you were going to give her parenting advice. I thought you were going to say you wanted to get parenting advice. Okay.
No, and you know what? The other sad part of this, she was arrested for child endangerment because she had all this weed and the shrooms and the camel bite with her two little boys in the car.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh,
terrible. Yes.
These people, you know, when there's too much money involved and they're not used to having that much money, they just like, you know, go nuts.
And the fame. Yeah. And it's really sad the boys were there. So her sister Tammy picked the boys up so they didn't have to go to Child Protective Services, but Child Protective Services is involved because she's.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Yeah,
I know.
Well, I mean, this might be terrible that I'm even concerned about this, but what happened to the camel?
Well, the guy that owns the safari park in Tennessee, it's called Alamo Safari Park. He's denying that it's a camel bite. So a lot of people have other theories about was she and her boyfriend getting into it? Did something happen? He says they've scoured all the cameras and there's no way a camel bit her. But I'm like, it's a safari park. There's no way you can have cameras all.
But let me ask you a question. What's her excuse? She's saying that she didn't have the weed. She's saying she did. She's saying, oh my God, this all happened because I got bit. Like why even bring up the camel bite?
She has no excuse. She pled not guilty in court yesterday. She apologized to her fans.
Not guilty for all the evidence that's in her car?
She pled guilty not guilty to all the charges. And so did he. I don't know why. Maybe a lawyer advised them to do that and then they'll plea out. I have no clue what that, I mean, the police came and the police are saying there was 80 grams of weed and magic mushrooms in the car. I don't know. I guess she could try to pin that on the boyfriend. The boyfriend could try to pin that on her.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean,
maybe that makes sense. She's got to plead not guilty to the child endangerment charges to at least fight to not, you know, she's probably going to lose some custody maybe to her ex-husband with this whole thing because her boys
are. Oh, wow. Yeah. This becomes a big deal. Okay. Well, interesting. No. You know, I've never understood these people on these shows, and I'm not putting anyone down, but, you know, we talk a lot about my dating life on these shows. Yeah. How is it that these people are married or dating or, you know, met some new guy and I cannot get a boyfriend to save my life? Like, it's insane. Why do you think that it is? That 600, my 600 pound life, they always are married to those skinny dudes.
Always. Always. Your standards are too high.
You said that to me. They can't, I mean, and I know that I was on, I posted a throwback this week from when I was on Millionaire Matchmaker 11 years ago.
So
and Patty Stanger had me on as like a celebrity version. So she picked the guy for me. So I was behind a screen wall and I had an IFB in my ear and she would have them line up four at a time. She probably brought 25 out. She would interview each one and I would say things in her ear and she would ask questions. And half the time I was like, no. Don't even ask any more questions, Patty. This guy sucks. Like, it was so terrible. And, you know, and then she picked a guy and made me date him. But she, you know how she like labels everyone on the show? I don't know if she always did that, but on my show she did. And my label was that I was a shredder, meaning I wouldn't give men like a chance. Like, I wasn't open enough. And I always found a million things wrong with them. Well, I'm not trying to be rude, but when there's a million things wrong with you, why wouldn't I find that? I mean,
you need a guy that is not nearly as hot as you are. That is like,
okay.
That's obsessed with you. That's probably a bit more of a nerd than what you want. And he's like medium rich, meaning, you know, he makes more than probably most Americans, but he's not like yacht rich.
But can he afford, fine, that's fine. But can he afford to like fly first class once in a while to cross country? I'm not going to California in coach. I'm just not.
Okay, well, this is probably part of the problem.
Do you think that's my problem?
Yeah, I think the guy that's probably madly in love with you and will treat you like amazing, maybe not, I don't know. He might not be like that uber rich.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Florida, I mean, first class.
I live in Palm Beach. I can meet a lot of really rich men, but they're not that interesting. They're probably dating five other people. They're complete liars. Okay. And, you know, they, whatever, there's all sorts of issues. By the way, I just want to say, I'm looking at our comments right now and Kathy is watching. I love you, Kathy. I'm so happy you're even watching our Rumble. Congratulations. We are so excited for you. We'll be in touch with you after the show. Oh, and Kathy is looking for a man too. Although Kathy, you got four kids. But it sounds like you're going to the Eagles, so maybe we'll find you. We should do like a Bumble thing for you and set you up on a date to see who you're going to bring to the Eagles. That could be another fun thing.
You could tell you and I really should go to Vegas that weekend.
I know, we really should. We're going to, Kathy, we might come with you. Okay, so we'll work on that. Anyway, so back to this topic. I want to, you know, we spoke earlier this morning and I wanted to tell you a little bit of a story. So
tell me.
Okay, I've been on all these dating apps and this, that, and the other thing. And once in a while, a guy will slide into my DMs. So this guy slid into my DM. And I really hope that he's watching right now because he's actually texting me as we're talking. I guess I won't give out names. But he writes me and says, oh, you know, I know you're going to be in New York next week. I'd love to take you out to dinner. Or I know you're going to be in the city. I'd love to take you out to dinner. And I said, what city? Where? I live in Florida. He said, New York. And I said, do I know you? And he's like, no, but you should. So I go down his little, today, he says this a couple of days ago. He raped me again today. So I go down his pictures and I see that in February, he proposed to a girl. So that's not that long ago. And it's like the love of my life. She said, yes. So then I scroll back up to more recent and I see a picture of them at Mar-a-Lago together in like March, May, whatever. So I write him and I said, I don't understand. Aren't you engaged? He writes a whole long thing. No, we're not. She wanted 1,000 people at the wedding. I wanted 400. She doesn't like living with my two sons. She's a really nice woman, but it's over. And before he answered me, he didn't answer me for like a couple hours. So I actually found her name and I screenshotted what he wrote me and I sent it to her. Now I know that's like bad, but hello, girl code. I don't tolerate cheating. Okay.
Okay.
So as someone who has been involved in something like that, I don't tolerate it.
Okay.
So she writes me back. So he writes me in the meantime and gave me the whole diatribe about her and how they broke up. So I was like, oh, okay. So she won't care. She writes me back and she goes, I'm shaking right now. Yes, that's my fiance. We live together. He's lying to you. We didn't break up. And I said, girl, I'm so sorry if I just shook your world up, but I guess you should know what he's doing. And then she's like, I'm shaking. I can't believe this. Da, da, da. And I said, not for anything. She's very pretty. And I said, not for anything. You're much prettier than this dude. And I don't know you from a hole in a wall. I don't think you should marry this guy. And he's a liar. And then I felt bad. I'm like, you're really pretty. And by the way, he reads gay on his photos. And she writes back. She goes, oh my God, I'm dying. She goes, my sister has been telling me she thinks he's gay this entire time. Oh my God. So she goes on and on about how she was celibate after the pandemic. And this is why she started to date this guy. Anyways, I think they're in a huge fight right now. And
what did he, and he's texting you?
Yeah. I wrote him back. I said, you're a loser. You give men a bad name. Your fiance deserves better. And you sound drunk. He writes back just now, by the way, you're correct. It was not sober behavior. We haven't been on the best of terms and I didn't seriously think we would actually connect. Please forgive me. Did you share all the conversations that we had? So he's making sure that he knows how to like navigate his conversations with the woman. Fuck him. Like how terrible is that?
That's awful. No, and you know what? I admire you for telling the women. I actually think that's the way to go because I think that as hard as it is to hear, women should face it. You know what I mean? Even if they choose to stay, but like, I think I actually admire you. I think the way you handled it was great.
Well, cause I just felt bad for this girl. Plus if I was going to, let's say I did decide to go and date him. Hello. The guy that I'm going on a date with is engaged. Men say the stupidest shit and they say dumb things to women all the time and women believe them. Listen, I've been through a lot. I know not to believe anybody. I check everything. So you're not going to get anything past me, but
maybe you should have a show where you just like investigate if men are cheating, how to navigate.
They have that. It's called Cheaters.
Yeah. But yours could be different because the Cheaters, it's those two dudes. Like we need a woman's perspective. You know what I mean? Like you've been through it all. You've seen all types of different men. I want the Rachel Yucatel version.
That could be fun to do a podcast where people send in things that they want me to investigate. And we, you know, try and figure out if they're cheating or, you know what I'm saying? Like that could be really fun. I have to think about that.
Your show should just be called Telling the Other Woman or Telling the Wife or something. And just like going with women and like.
Busted. How about that?
Yeah, busted. Yeah. And share, you know, it's like girl code. Maybe it should be called girl code.
Girl code. That's like a good one.
Going and helping out these women and going, look, okay, maybe you're not going to leave him, but you need to know what's going on. And here's all the facts. And Rachel Yucatel is here to mediate.
I'm writing this down, girl code.
That's your show. I want to produce this show.
Okay, maybe we should use this show as your sample show that we start when you do your class of how to launch a podcast.
Well, and I can say this because you and I were going to announce it anyway, but you know, and I've already said this out loud, but I'm shooting a talk show pilot this fall. So that's why after today, I'm going to be popping in and out. So Rachel's going to have other people, you know, we'll be back together sometime this fall. But for now, I got to focus on two things, my podcast course and I got to shoot this pilot. But I'm almost like, should girl code, I'm going to shoot this show in LA. Mm-hmm. I'm almost like, should girl code be a segment on the talk show pilot? And have
I'd fly there and have you come out
and have a woman.
It's like a Jerry Springer episode.
Jerry. Yes. Oh my God.
By the way, speaking of which, when I go to New York next week, I'm interviewing Steve Wilkos. Remember him? He's the bouncer from the Jerry Springer show. I should ask him if he wants to come to LA with me.
We should.
For Girl Code. Actually, I should ask him to be the co-host of my podcast. And,
you know, Steve, we actually ought to pitch it to Steve because Steve, you know, went on to have his own insanely successful talk show. Steve's made a fortune from becoming his own talk show. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to talk later about this. But another interesting thing you sent me earlier, Casey Anthony. Do you guys remember this woman? She was accused of killing her 2-year-old daughter. It was later found out. Well, whatever. She was acquitted. Clearly she killed the kid. All right. I'm not saying anything that no one doesn't believe. She is now dating a man. He was a married man with two children in Tennessee. He left his wife for her. She's left Florida and she has moved to Tennessee to be with this guy. I mean, again, how are these people getting men to leave their families for them? And I can't even get a normal date. I just don't understand. I'm going to stop making it about me, but this is a terrible story. I mean, if I were the wife of this man, I would actually be filing a restraining order to make sure that she could not spend any time with my kids.
Well, I think the thing is the kids are older. I think they're grown. They apparently, so this guy's
I didn't know that. Yeah.
His name is Tyson Ray Rhodes. He's 48 years old, spotted with Casey Anthony. Apparently they've been dating for a while. I mean, even the New York Post says it's just like, you know, she's crazy. There's something intoxicating about her. And she's like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. Anyhow. So he did. He was married for 22 years. He has two sons, but I think the boys are grown. So probably not much you can do there, but absolutely has been having an affair. They show a picture of, well, actually they blur the boys' faces out on the New York Post. So maybe they're not quite 18, but the boys do look like they're probably high school age or older. Yeah. He was married for 22 years to his wife and he's apparently left his wife, started dating. And a friend of Casey Anthony's, although this won't shock anyone, is telling the New York Post, she doesn't care that he's married. She doesn't care.
Well, listen, I will say we don't know the whole story because maybe they were separated. I mean, maybe he is technically married, but he's not with his wife. I mean, we don't know. So as much as I don't like Casey Anthony, I don't want to say, I do know that there are plenty of men, and I've been out with plenty of them, that have not completely gotten the paperwork that they are divorced, but they are separated. They're going through the motions, or they're separated and haven't filed for divorce, but they're, you know, on a break, so to speak, from their marriage. So I don't know.
Can you believe this? The Rhodes guy is an engineer for an aerospace company. This man is actually smart, but so stupid in love. Can you imagine being with this? Now, of course, she was found not guilty, but I believe she murdered her daughter. I mean, what a nut.
I don't think anyone doesn't think she murdered her daughter. And what was crazy about that whole scenario, and this is down a totally different path, but that she accused her father of sexual abuse and no one followed up with that. No one was like, okay, well, if that's what really happened, you know, we should look into that. And clearly no one believed it, you know, because no one followed up. So she's a terrible human being. Obviously people deserve a second chance, but she, and I have a podcast built on that whole premise, but I am not sure that I believe that she is someone that does, quite frankly. So I'm inviting her on the podcast to have a conversation and explain it to me.
God, I don't even know if there's a few people in this world, like, I'm not sure I could have empathy for. She's one of them.
Yeah.
OJ Simpson was the other one, but he's obviously since died. So, she would be hard to connect with. That would be an incredible get. Cause if you could have any connection with, she seems like such a psychopath to me. I don't even know if she could have any connection with you.
Yeah. I don't know. But you know, another person that people think is a psychopath and they don't have any sympathy for is Hunter Biden. What are your thoughts on Hunter Biden?
Oh my God. Well, I don't know. I've got a lot of thoughts. Like, this one is a little bit of a mystery, right? So basically in a kind of shock reversal yesterday in Los Angeles, he pled guilty now to all the tax evasion charges. Essentially, now this was the height of his addiction, but you know, he was involved with foreign entities, getting paid as, you know, whatever he labeled it, a consultant, this, that, taking the money, hiring prostitutes, hookers, smoking crack, writing those off, by the way, those off as business expenses.
Yep. So what's interesting about him is that, okay, so he was already found guilty on the gun charge. Here he is found guilty. He's about to go to trial. Yesterday morning, they were starting jury selection and he comes out and takes a plea deal. I think originally when the news first came out, it was that he was taking an Alford plea, which is he admits guilt.
You plead Alford deal, which they wouldn't let him do. You know, they fought
really hard. Eventually they said he couldn't.
An Alford plea is basically, I'm going to plead guilty, but I am denying that I am not guilty of the charges that the government has brought against me. That's what he really wanted.
Right.
And they said,
No, exactly. So what's interesting about there's a couple of things that's interesting. So first of all, at the beginning of the week, I had London Roberts on. London Roberts is the mother of his child, which, remember last year, he swore up and down he didn't know this woman. She was just a stripper. that she had had a baby. He said, there's no way that baby's mine. I've never even met her. Long story short, he had to take a paternity test, and lo and behold, the child is his. The child is, I think she's around five now. Maybe she's four. Her name is Navy Roberts. I spoke to London Roberts for an hour where she told the whole story. She knew him for at least 2 years where they were in and out of a sexual relationship, but they spent a ton of time together. He trusted her with almost everything. He was dating her when he was in a relationship with Hallie, the wife of his dead brother. And that came out to be a whole big scandal too. But she talks about how that news article came out that he was sleeping with Beau's wife. And she's like, wait a minute, I'm sleeping with him. This is my boyfriend. And then she tells a whole story about how she's had to spend all this time with them together. And they, not like it was a throuple, but kind of, she didn't have anything sexually with her, but that Hallie was going to bed upstairs. She would go to bed with him downstairs. Like, it was very strange. She also talks all about the spending and how he spent a lot of money on her. And she was set to testify at this trial, which is crazy. So now I guess she won't be testifying, but she had all this evidence of how much money he was spending. So, you know, the other interesting thing is about whether or not he did this because he wanted to have the time to have his sentencing, which is supposed to come out in November, which will still give his father time to pardon him completely or commute him. I'm forgetting the terms. I think that's right. Whereas Joe Biden, as of last night, was saying, no, he's not going to get a pardon from me. But, you know, let's remember, he also said he wasn't stepping down from the presidency. So I don't know.
Wouldn't you pardon your son? I think
he would. Of course.
I mean, look, Hunter Biden is definitely going to be given jail time at this point, tax evasion. Now, of course, since then, he's paid his tax bill, and his attorney is trying to say, oh, you know, he paid more than his fair share. And it's like, yeah, after he knew that he was going to be investigated and charged. I mean, well, no shit. You know, he paid more. You know, he was in the height of his addiction. I have empathy there. It's so crazy to me. Like, pay your taxes, people. Like, you're always going to get caught. That's the one thing you've got to do. Pay your taxes.
But here's the thing, Sarah. He did pay. He ended up paying the $1.4 million or whatever it is.
After,
But I mean, so it'll be interesting. I think they're also waiting to see what the sentence is. Here's my prediction. They are going to wait until December to see what his sentence is because he might not get any jail time because he did pay the money back and it's his first offense. So there's all sorts of things that they have to take into consideration. And so he may not go to jail. And if he doesn't go to jail, then the dad doesn't have to do anything. If he does get, let's say, 17 years, of course, I think then he would change his mind in January before he leaves.
I mean, Wesley Snipes, the insanely famous actor. Now, Wesley Snipes did not pay, I think it was like $9 million in taxes. Hunter was like 1.4 or 1.7, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Wesley Snipes went to jail for like 4 or 5 years. So this guy's not going to get any time. I mean, I think he's going to get time. And I think Joe is going to reverse and, you know, pardon him because Joe's career's over. Like, President Biden, thank you for your service, but it's like, it's over. So,
I have a Wesley Snipes story.
You do?
Yes. When I worked at a nightclub in New York City, he came home with me one night.
Ah!
And because we were having so much fun, just as friends, obviously, you know, whatever. I didn't know it was going to happen in my home, but we went into my apartment and I lived in a townhouse at the time in Manhattan, and I noticed the front door was open. It was like slightly ajar. So maybe he was walking me home and I saw the front door was open and I was like, oh my God. He's like, do you want me to check? He comes in and it was like a scene out of one of his action films. He like kicks the door down. He walks in all my closets. He walks in all the crevices. I had a 2-story townhouse. He goes upstairs. He like takes, I want to say it was an umbrella. He took whatever was by the door, umbrella, takes it upstairs. And I'll never forget, he gets into my bedroom and he thinks somebody's in the bathroom in the shower. And it was a shower that had one of those curtains. And he's like, shh, shh. And he quietly goes, and then he kicks the curtain. I mean, this was like, I should have been, these were not the days when you had like video cameras on your phone. I don't think, because I obviously would have videotaped this if I could. Then it got a little weird and he got a little aggressive, like with wanting to like do more than be friends. So then I kicked him out. And with a couple reminders of like, no, I'm not consenting to this, then he left and he wasn't happy. And that was the last time we spoke. But I do have a cell phone number in my phone.
My God, what? You got to get Wesley Snipes. I mean, one of the biggest actors of all time. What a career. Yeah.
I wonder if he remembers. I mean, he wouldn't know. I don't even know if he knew my name, quite frankly.
I'm sure he remembers. Oh my God, you have to call him. Oh my Lord. That's
but it was like right before he went to jail.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, what a turn of events for Hunter Biden. This is the second trial he's been found guilty. So, yeah, I think he's going to get I don't think it's going to be a lot necessarily, but and I think he's 100% going to get pardoned. You're like, yeah. There's
I don't know. I think it would actually be terrible if Joe Biden let him go to jail for 17 years. I think that would be incredibly sad.
I don't think Joe. Well, first of all, I don't think he's going to get 17 years at all. It's like 1.4, 1.7. He did pay it back. I think Wesley Snipes went to jail, hadn't paid it back. I think it was kind of like broke and is still probably making payments or I'm sure he had the money. I'm sure he had to, you know, whatever. But I don't think he's getting 17 years, maybe like 17 months. But I don't think he's going to go to jail for any time. And I'm sure. And I mean, I'm curious, your guest, his ex, I mean, they claim that the evidence that the government was going to put forward was like even more embarrassing than the gun trial, which was pretty embarrassing because he basically his brother who died of brain cancer, he like smoked crack with his ex, you know, with his wife. I mean, it was just horrible.
Right. But that's what I'm talking about. She's telling that story about how they were toxic for each other. They got involved in drugs together, all the amounts of money he spent on that, all the amounts of money. London was telling me about all these extravagant hotel rooms and the way they lived. And it was just time after time of extravagance and gluttonous. So I'm sure that was all going to come out. A couple of weeks ago, we had Amy, was it last week? We had Amy Tripp on our show. She was the notorious Instagram or social media astrologist who was predicting who she thought was going to win the election. And in the stars and the moons, she says that Donald Trump is going to win. Well, as of yesterday, the election Nostradamus, a guy who has predicted 9 out of 10 of the last presidential elections in the last 40 years correctly, he says it's 10 out of 10, by the way, because he predicted that Donald Trump would win in 2020. And he says that was stolen. Interesting. So he is predicting as of yesterday that Kamala Harris is going to be the next president. He thinks it's, you know, he's like, it's she will be the next president and the very first woman president. And again, he doesn't say it's about the person running that he's looking at. He looks at 13 different factors, which he calls keys. And if 6 out of the 13 point in a certain direction, that tells him who will win. So he went through all of them. Too boring and too much to get into, but that's his pick. So we'll see. We'll see who's right. Amy Tripp or this guy, Professor, what's his name? Professor Alan Lichtman.
Alan's been awfully right, but I don't know. I mean, I you know, when I look at the media, I feel like she's going to win. But then when you go online, you're like, I don't know.
Everyone I know and meet is a Trump fan or a MAGA, down to like my dog walker. So like, you know, it's like literally everyone from my dating apps to the people in my social circle to like just random people that it's not my dog walker. My dog sitter who comes and stays in my house is like a huge MAGA person. He just spent like 4 weeks painting some Donald Trump mural and asked me if I knew who to sell it to. And I was like, no, I don't know who you're going to sell that to.
Maybe you need to date a liberal guy too. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you need to go only on dates with liberal men.
But that's the thing. I would have thought that that's my type, but clearly maybe I'm looking for an alpha, which are MAGA.
Yeah. Why I think you got to go. I think you got to really lean.
But I become a shredder because I don't like, you know, them being so into conspiracy theories and so angry. And so I don't like when people, I feel like MAGAs are like not empathetic people, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think you like, I love you. I think it's hard to like blanket statement everybody. I mean, there's a lot of people. I think that's
99.9%, Sarah.
You think 99.9% of MAGA people have no empathy? I don't think that's true. I think 99, you know, you and I have different views, right, of this country. Yeah. I believe that 95% of people are really great, regardless of their political views, and would help their neighbor any way they could or how.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
She has something different. I do. I think people are mostly good. I think a decade ago, no one ever asked you about your politics. No one gave a rip. Right. I think Trump people are wonderful, kind, great, giving people. I think people are fed up with the politics.
I think maybe you're right. It's like when people believe in something, they are good to people that also believe that cause. I mean, that's the problem, I guess. If you don't believe what they believe, then everybody gets into a fight. So it's very hard. I don't know. But I definitely don't believe that all people are good and they want the best for each other. I mean, you rarely meet... You and I have different life experiences. So
I know. We do.
That's where we come up with those differing things. But I would like to believe that people are all good. I'm over here if somebody wants to show me different. So, all right, let's move on. Speaking of people not being good, actually, I want to talk about what happened in the news with Travis Kelce and Taylor this week.
What do you think of this?
So for people that don't know, there was some documents that came out on Reddit originally from Full Scope PR. It's the PR company that represents Travis Kelce, saying that it was outlining the breakup that was going to happen on, I believe, September 28th, going over the statements they were going to make, the press that he was going to do, saying that he was focusing on his, you know, career and blah, blah, blah. So Full Scope PR comes out and gives a whole statement saying they're lawyering up. That didn't happen. Of course, they are going strong, that somebody must have stolen the letterhead and created this and put it out there. So in my mind, there's two things going on. It's either someone that had access to looking at that at Full Scope took a screenshot and then put it out, like a disgruntled employee, someone that was like, holy shit, put that out. The other option is somebody completely fabricated it and it's a conspiracy. And in my mind, I'm thinking, wait a minute. So they played the Baltimore Ravens last night, right? This came out 24 hours before. Could it have been somebody who was betting big on Baltimore Ravens and wanted to screw with Travis Kelce's head the night before a game? It's their opening game and was like, oh my God, let's put this in the news and make it all, you know, a big mess. Because clearly, you know, they thought they could throw him. I don't know. I think it's weird. So my story with Full Scope PR, they used to represent me. A guy named Jack Katosian, is the guy who owns it. He is the owner of it. He joined with a woman and I actually don't know who the girl is. And they started together Full Scope PR right when I was leaving them. And, I gotta be honest with you. I never worked with the woman. I don't know who was in charge of Travis's PR in that camp, but I will say they don't have their shit together over there, which is why I left. So, I mean, I thought it was an interesting thing. I was shocked that, I mean, they had some big name people. They used to represent, what's her name? Your friend, Erica Jane.
I love EJ. Wow. They repped EJ. No, wait, when you say they weren't like, on top of it, do you say that meaning like, oh, you could see an employee having access to this and it could be real? Like, yeah, they felt like
they were more about being friends with, they represent some big people. So they were all about being friends with different PR people, just getting money, not doing their job, not being aggressive. Like I booked almost all of my own PR and I would call them and I'd be like, you know, here's who I want. I want to go on this person's show. And then a week later, I'd be like, so what happened? And they'd be like, oh, we didn't hear back. Or we got a no. And I'm like, okay, well, why was the no? Or why, you know, if we didn't hear back, are you trying to get to the right person? Are you sure they got it and read it and didn't respond? Like there were also all sorts of things like that that didn't make a lot of sense. At the end of the month, usually a good PR company will show you all the PR that they've gotten you. We'll talk to you about who they're going to give you in the future. None of that happened. So, you know, I didn't have a great experience. I worked with them probably 4 or 5 months. I've known them for years before that. And the years before that, when I used them, it was the same kind of situation where I felt like I had to like stay on top of them and be like, what is happening? So I don't know. I didn't feel like, you know, I'm not surprised that this was the PR company, but I was surprised that they would have such a big client, I guess. Their other huge client is, who is the girl from, okay, I'm going to play 20 questions with you because I can't remember her name. Who is the girl? She's dating the guy from the Montana Boys.
Oh, Kristen Cavallari.
Yes.
Yeah. They rep her.
Yeah. And I think Erica Jane, I think fired him because remember the whole thing that happened on the show? Jack was on the show with her. He was the one that like gave some information. They showed him hiding behind someone and eavesdropping and then telling something. I can't really remember all the stuff that went down, but that was who that was.
Interesting. I think your theory could be right. Like someone did this to get just to get under his skin. But then I don't know. You know, you look at the J-Lo and Ben Affleck stuff, right? All the leaks, all the everything was true. Everything was true. We've been hearing for 6 months.
But wait a minute. That's different because we saw the physical separation of them. We saw somebody putting the house up for a market. We saw them never being in each other's presence. We saw the ring come off. We saw it looked like they were giving each other on the kiss on the cheek. We saw him from the beginning slamming the car door and being like, well, fuck her, you know? Everyone kind of made a meme about it like, oh, that's just funny, or he's just a drunk or whatever they said. But they were obviously fighting. And so I think you saw that breakdown. You don't see a breakdown with Travis and Taylor in public, at least. You know, she's at all of his she just was at his game last night, made a huge deal of being at his game. You know, and he was out with her on her tour. So I don't know. I don't see that. A lot of people think that that relationship is fake. I don't see that at all. They don't need the press. They don't, you know.
I don't think it's fake at all. No, I think it's, I don't know. I mean, that one kind of baffled me. I don't know.
So anyways, we'll see. September 28th will come and go and we'll see if there's a breakup or not.
He better not break her heart. We're all going back to that tour.
Otherwise, they are never, ever, ever getting back together. Tonight, you had asked me about the lives of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I tried to watch it last night. It comes out tonight.
I know. Me too. I thought I was like, I'm a day off. Yeah, I know. I really want to watch it. I'm super excited. I hope it's interesting. They've done a lot of press. The gals, some of the gals have done podcasts leading up, promoting it. So we'll see.
Is this their version of The Housewives?
Yes. Going to be a version of The Housewives. I think it's sort of The Housewives / Sister Wives because the Sister Wives are they're an offshoot of Mormonism. They're a very like old school form of Mormonism that believes in polygamy. Mm-hmm. I don't think these girls are into polygamy per se that we know of, but their husbands, they claim, are all super Mormon. And then they got into this soft swinging. So we'll see if it's compelling. The trailer looks good.
Right. Okay. Well, exciting. I guess one other thing I want to bring up because it's all over the news this morning and I'm sure it's come across your screen is the shooting that happened in Georgia a couple of days ago. The father of the 14-year-old was arrested, I think, yesterday. I think that shows a huge – first of all, this happened in the Crumbly situation where the father and mother were held accountable, I think have already been sentenced.
In Michigan.
Michigan. Right. But that took a while to unfold. What's different here is how quickly the father was arrested. And so he was already in court this morning, the same time the son was in court. I mean, soon after. But, you know, the fact that they both were in court on the same day shows you how quickly it happened. And then as of a few minutes ago, we were talking about the mom. There has been a warrant out for her arrest as well. So I think it's starting to become a thing that parents are being held accountable for their children's actions, especially if they are buying an assault rifle. What do you think about it?
All right. Well, I talked to you on the phone before we went live and I was going to come so hard for Colin Gray, who's the 54-year-old dad. And then I just heard they also released a police call because in 2023, this kid was on the FBI's the FBI paid a visit to them because he had put that he was going to shoot up a school like on his social media. So they visit the dad and they've just put out the call or the interview that they did with Colin Gray, the father. And the father actually sounds like empathetic about the kid, like worried that he's talked to his son about violence, that they have guns in the house, which, you know, unfortunately, I mean, millions and millions of people in this country have guns in their house with kids. So I mean, I grew up like that, you know, I mean, I say, unfortunately, most people are also really safe gun owners, but this story break your heart. And the dad sobbed in court. I thought that was, you know, the Crumbly parents in Michigan are two dipshits. I mean, I don't even think they broke a tear the entire time. This father was like inconsolable in court yesterday. I mean,
I didn't see that.
You didn't see it. It was heartbreaking.
I just saw him walk in the shackles, but so he was crying and they were trying to talk to him, or what happened? Tell me, sobbing
in court because the father is, could be going to jail for the rest of his life.
Do you know what the Crumbleys were sentenced to?
Oh, the Crumbleys in Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, they're such dirt bags. Let's see.
Because that will be a telltale sign of how long he gets.
Let's see. Ethan Crumbley's parents in Michigan. Let's see.
And both the mom and dad were sentenced. And they're saying that, as you're looking that up, I will say that the media now is saying the evidence was so overwhelming, which is why they were able to get an arrest this quickly. The issue was it the FBI that went after them a year ago? They had some concerns about him because there was a threat made by him, but he said that someone had hacked into his computer and he didn't do it. And then even after that conversation, the father went and bought the assault rifle for a present. So, I mean, I know you say the guy's crying, but I heard the interview he did with a police officer right off the bat where he was like, well, I locked down my guns in the house and he couldn't get any ammunition. And I mean, this is pissing me off if that's what you're suggesting. I mean, he was kind of like giving him an attitude.
I see. I heard that call. I heard that audio. I didn't think it was actually that aggressive, the way that the media makes it out to be. I think what the dad has said is, and what they're saying now, is that this kid was picked on constantly, the 14-year-old, and was called gay every day at school and ridiculed. Now, look, a lot of kids, I mean, we all went through it. Everybody gets bullied to varying degrees, right? And they don't shoot up a school. I'm not giving that as any excuse. I mean, this kid's life is over. He should go to jail for the rest of his life. Unfortunately, he made a decision, that he took the lives of 4 people, injured 9. Like, it's over.
Right.
You don't get a second chance. But I think the mother seems like a complete nut job.
We read about the mother. Tell me about the mother.
Well, I don't see anywhere where she's got an arrest warrant. I actually have some empathy for the father. Like I said, this is the picture of him breaking down in court. They have video. I mean, the father's like inconsolable in court.
Travis, can you pull up a picture of that behind us, if you don't mind, if you can find it? Right before we went on air, is when I saw a headline saying that the warrant had been issued for her arrest, for the mother's arrest, but she had not been arrested yet. But you said that she had like a rap sheet going back 17 years.
She's had across 4 counties in Georgia. She's had arrests, citations for everything from drugs, fentanyl. I mean, you name it. She's a piece of work. So this, this kid had terrible parents to begin with. I mean, if that's your mother for 17 years, I mean, give me a break. I'm sure he's a product of his environment. He's still going to jail for life if I were on the jury, but I don't live in Georgia, so they're not going to put me on. I don't think they're going to put me on a jury anyway, because they know they'll listen to my podcast. They'll be like, this bitch.
Right.
It's horrific. I was trying to get the long laundry list of shit she's had in her past. But, these kids.
Well, it'll be interesting. I think doesn't he have another sibling? I saw a picture of the father with 2 young boys. So I'm thinking there's another kid in there. If both parents are arrested, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, the whole thing is so sad.
This is the mom. Marcy Gray is her name. Criminal
record. Are they married?
17 years. I don't think so. She has a lengthy rap sheet, including domestic violence. Oh, she's been that. There you go. That tells you right there. Drug use and fraud that led to her being sentenced to jail just last September. Gray was arrested on Wednesday. That's the boy in Winder, minutes after authorities say he opened fire on students and teachers. His father, 54-year-old Colin Gray, is accused of buying his 14-year-old that AR-15 rifle. And I mean, look, this is the thing with stricter gun laws, right? That we can debate. The dad didn't have a criminal record. The father gave him the gun. Same with the kid in Michigan. So what are you
doing? So are you thinking the father should not be held accountable, or are you thinking he should?
Oh no, he should. He should. I just think that at least the father, you can tell, knows like what's happened is horrific. Like, I think the father seeing the dad cry, and I thought my interpretation of hearing that call a year ago or interview with police is I thought the dad was like fairly responsible. I teach him about guns. You know, there's a picture of him online with blood on his face, but that's because he just shot his first deer. The father sounds, what I'm saying is the father sounds rational.
Got it. Okay. I see what you're saying. But again, it is interesting. Don't bring something like that into your house if you can't control the use of it, meaning if it can get into the wrong hands. I mean, you know, somebody said something to me the other day, like, oh, well, what are you going to accuse parents of something if you give that your kid a car and they go and kill someone? Well, yes. And that was something that actually came up recently. I don't know if you've seen, there's a big story out. It was out last week. And now I don't have the details in front of me. I can't even remember the kid's name, but there was a young kid. Maybe he was home from college. Maybe he was in high school. I'm not sure. He was driving for over a year at speeds up to 150 miles per hour. He had that app on his phone. I know you're a mom, so maybe you know it, but you have a younger kid than I do. So Lifetime 360, do you know what that is?
No, tell me.
It connects your phone with anyone you want, but your child's phone, so you know where they are. So like when my daughter and I have it, when my daughter leaves the house, it says why it's left. When she gets home, it says why it's arrived home. It says where her location is, and it also says how many miles per hour she's going. So because of the Lifetime 360 thing, they were able to see, or the mother was able to see how fast he was going. And there's text messages from her saying, slow the fuck down. How are you driving like this? You know, whatever. And there were times when he went for over 20 miles at like 120 miles per hour, probably on a long straight road, right? But the point was, is that he did this over and over and over. And then after she had this conversation with him about slowing down, she went and bought an even faster car. She had like, you know, some shitty car before. And she got, yeah. So yeah. Now he went and picked up another boy. The kid was sitting in the passenger seat. Within 15 seconds of leaving the house, he sped up to 120 miles per hour and ran into a wall. He lived, which is
crazy.
They
always do.
And the passenger died. And the mom is like, you know, her life is over. I mean, it's terrible. And these kids are so cute. You know, it's just the worst thing ever.
I love it. I think hold the parents accountable 110%. If we're not going to change or tighten the gun laws, and look, in this case, the gun laws being tightened wouldn't have mattered. Same with the Crumbly. The parents were of legal age and the ability to acquire those weapons, no problem. So, right. You know, but then start holding the parents accountable. Do it. Same with the car. I think it's great. People have been calling for this for a very long time. I mean, for two decades, you've heard people say, start holding the parents accountable. It's a great deterrent for other parents. If you sense any, and I mean, the teenage years are so tough, you know, you've got a daughter entering it. Yeah. I mean, the last thing you should have, these kids shouldn't have access to weapons, period. Even a stable teenager for the most part. Of course, there's exceptions. You've got some really, you know, very, very responsible teens. But, you know, I mean, teenagers don't think. They shouldn't have access to guns to even harm themselves, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you don't think when you're that age. You don't see the big picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, and I mean, it's sad. Like, and also this kid apparently was bullied, wanted out, wanted a different school. That's so hard, you know? And probably the parents didn't have the money. I don't know if they didn't care to put him in a different school, but it's horrific, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just no words for it, to be honest with you. Yeah. So we'll see how that turns out. All right. Well, so our listeners, I want you to know that Sarah's going to be taking a little hiatus for the next couple of weeks because she is going to be working on some big projects. I'm going to be heading to New York City next week for September 11th stuff.
Yeah.
Do some interviews. I have some big interviews there that I'm doing, and then some big interviews that I'm doing for my own show. I get to interview Cindy Adams at the WABC studios, which I'm really excited about. We're doing that on September 11th, with a bunch of meetings. And then I'm interviewing like 7 or 8 people while I'm there. I'm going into the Page Six studios and doing an interview with them. It's like their version of Watch What Happens Live. It'll be super cool. And then, you know, we'll be putting out some September 11th episodes. And then the month of September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. I don't know if you know that. I actually am going to jump shortly because I have an interview coming up here in about 10 minutes with Bershawn Shaw. Do you remember her from The Housewives of New York?
Yes. I feel like I know her photo.
And she was a 2-time cancer survivor. breast cancer survivor. She is launching an app next week on September 10th about mental health awareness, and about suicide awareness, all that kind of stuff. So I'm having her on to talk about that. So that episode will be out next week, but all important topics to get educated on. Anything exciting coming up for you that you want to promote?
Yeah, on Monday, we kind of had teased this last week, but the star of Chimp Crazy on HBO, Tanya Haddix, is on the Sarah Fraser show, and she is telling her full story and what she says that was not shown on the documentary, how she feels that she was misrepresented, and she reveals if she's still selling exotic animals. So
did you already do the interview?
Yeah.
Obsessed. Was it great?
For an hour. I'm obsessed with her. She reveals too much. I told her that. I said, well, you know, you're in this predicament because you just say too much.
Are you going to edit some of her stuff out, or are you going to?
That was the agreement. I said, look, I don't usually edit people ever. Obviously, you and I work with networks. It's never the guest for the most part. It's usually the network that says, we don't want spoilers for that season. Or, you know, you ask them something and that can kind of reveal yada. It's mostly about anything coming up. They don't want any of that out there. So, but I had said to her, and we had had a conversation before, I said, I don't edit. You know, I want you to tell your full story. What was misrepresented? What was true to you? How do you feel about people coming for you? Have you seen Tonka the Chimp? Would you do this over again? So she, you know, no, we're not editing. It's an hour and a half of Tanya Haddix.
Did she give you any inside scoop on Tonka? Tanya, what's the name of that?
Tonka is the chimp. He is still alive down in Florida. She has not been able to see him. And she has some theories as to why that is. But
she knows who has him?
Yes. She knows where he's at. She knows where he's at. And
she's seen proof of life?
Yes. She knows he's alive. Yeah.
By the way, you told me about it. So I started to watch it two nights ago. I couldn't get into it.
You're not into it.
I loved Tiger King. I just could. It was too much mayhem. You know,
the monkeys.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. I will watch your show. I'm excited to hear what she has to say.
Well, I feel like it has a very, you know, it's like any television, right? If it strikes you, it strikes you. Like we had a fan say to us, like, watch Love Is Blind UK. I felt the same way. I couldn't get into it. I'm like, I'm so over Love Is Blind personally. It's the same formula over and over and over and the same thing. So I'm not that into it, but so I get what you're saying. It's got to strike you.
Just really quickly, I saw that you had Spencer Pratt on. I also had him on. I have not released the episode yet, to be honest with you. Did he end up telling you, like giving you any inside scoop about the show that he's on that he filmed in wherever the hell they filmed it? Now I forget. Not Scotland. Where the hell did he go? Like filmed with Kim.
Yeah. It's called Gut to Get Out. It airs in January.
Yeah.
He didn't get into any details of the scenes or like any of the infighting or whatever, but you know, they're all these former stars or reality stars in this home and they have to like get to the gate and get out. And whoever does gets $1 million, but he did not reveal if he won or I'm thinking he didn't win. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I'm thinking he didn't win either because he's still hustling to get a show. He had to jump off of our podcast early because he had an appointment or he had a pitch meeting with a network and he was trying to get a show done. So I guess we'll see. You didn't hear. I think I interviewed him before yours. I just haven't, again, like aired it. Did he say that he got the show?
He told me, I don't know if it's the same show, but he and James Franco are coming out with a show. Did he tell you about that?
No,
I don't know if it's the same
one. Maybe, I can't remember. Honestly, it was so long ago. It was terrible.
He and James Franco have a project coming out with celebrities. So I'm not sure if it's the same one.
No, I think that's what he was pitching.
It got the green light. They have budget and the whole thing. No, Spencer's pretty amazing. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, Spencer's one of the patient zeros of starting reality TV.
For sure.
He's amazing. I love me some Spencer. And I think they'll be back in a huge way. And Spencer to me is very honest, you know, about their highs and lows. They blew a lot of the money. I think they still make a lot of money, but.
Yeah. Well, they spend a lot on those crystals.
And the crystals are very expensive. Yes. Yeah. Tell me about the crystal business.
The one other thing I will tell you to watch, I am going to watch the Mormon Lives of somebody wives and how, whatever. It's a tricky name. Yeah. But I, did you watch the documentary on Baywatch?
No. Was it good?
I just started it, but I had Jeremy Jackson on. Okay. And so I love Jeremy Jackson. He played Hobie, the kid, and he talks all about what that was like, you know, when Pamela got hired and the fanatics and how it took the show to a different level. And that interview is so good. It came out on Monday, but I am very much looking forward to watching the full documentary. It looks like it's going to be great. And by the way, they are talking about a reboot. So we'll see who makes it out of the reboot. So it'll be fun.
Oh my God. What a great show. Do you remember?
And then wait, just quickly, because I don't have any of your attention for the next month. Are you excited about the Dancing with the Stars cast?
No, I could care less.
I cannot believe that they put Anna Delvey on there.
I can't stand her. I won't. I haven't watched Dancing with the Stars in probably 8 years anyway. I don't even know who still does. I have no idea who's still watching that show. I think it's a terrible cast. I didn't even know half the people. I feel like you and I are, have you been on it? You could definitely be on it. Well, you need to have your rep. I mean, there were like a bunch of no-namers. Do you know any of these people?
I didn't know half of the names. I mean, they started to put random people on. Remember the year that they had the Peloton instructor?
Oh yeah. Cody Rigsby or something.
It was like they were running out of celebrities. I thought that was odd. But to when you go down the road of having someone like Anna Delvey, who got famous for being a liar, what? I thought that was weird. I thought that was terrible and weird, and I don't even know why they did it.
Well, they've run out of people. Now, I will say Julia Roberts' brother, I mean, that's a huge get. I mean,
are you talking about Eric?
Yeah.
He did Celebrity Rehab with me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He was on my show.
What?
I didn't know he was on it. I'm going to text him right now, as a matter of fact. That's amazing.
He was in, what was he for in rehab for?
He was in rehab for cocaine and pot.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. He was my buddy. There was a time when Janice Dickinson was giving me a hard time and he called her a C-U-N-T. Crazy. He did not like her. That was funny.
Oh my God. That's so good.
Yeah. And I really like his wife. I don't know if they're still together. I assume they are. And he is an amazing kid who is a musician. Who else is good on it?
Isn't Emma Roberts his child too?
No. Yes. Emma Roberts is his child, I think. And they don't speak.
Oh, really?
Am I getting that right? Yes.
Oh my God. She's a huge star.
Huge star. Yeah. Or they didn't talk years ago. I mean, maybe, you know. And wait, I saw Tori Spelling was going to be on there.
I like Tori. I don't mind Tori. I like her more now that she's broke and she like goes, you know, tells all the.
Yeah, good for her. I'm happy she's doing it.
Yeah, all the tea.
I can't remember because they did offer it to me like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was. I can't remember if it was Favored Nations or if it was 100,000, but somewhere in between 25,000 and 100,000 is what they gave you.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
No,
you really have to make a fool out of yourself, though. I mean, dancing like that.
Oh, I know.
You know.
Okay. Dwight Howard is on it.
Who's that?
Basketball player. Danny Amendola. You should date him. He's super
hot. He's so hot. Oof.
Former Patriots player. Yeah, he's really hot. But I don't know the rest. What's that?
I thought he did it already. So he's no longer playing football?
Yeah. Danny Amendola retired. Huh. Anna Delvey, huge loser. Reginald Val Johnson.
Never heard of him.
Jen Tran. She's just The Bachelorette.
Boring.
Yep.
Does anyone watch The Bachelor anymore?
No. I don't. I mean, I don't know. Do people?
No, I don't think so.
Chandler Kinney. Don't know who she is. Danny Amendola. Brooks Nader. That name sounds familiar. She like a
former mom. That sounds familiar.
No, could care less. Couldn't care less.
All right.
Good luck to him.
Good luck to you in the next month. I'm excited. We'll talk as you go on your trip. We'll talk maybe about doing girl code. And then, guys, we will be back next week. I will be giving a recap of my September 11th week. And then we will have some guest hosts in between until Sarah makes it back. But we love you, Sarah. I'll talk to you soon. And please don't forget, if you're listening on Sarah's podcast, please come over to my podcast, Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel, and get it on Apple or Spotify. And if you are listening on my podcast, please go to the Sarah Fraser Show, same places, and subscribe. We really appreciate you. And again, congratulations to Kathy. We will maybe see you in Las Vegas and go with you. She's been writing. She wants us to go with her. So maybe, maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll make that happen.
We'd have a good one. All right. Bye, Rachel.
Yeah. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.